Hare Krishna. Truth doesn't depend on history. History demonstrates truth. Today we live in a world of changing truths. Truths in double quotes. Now what is called as truth today is largely the theories which are propagated by various thinkers. And these theories keep changing. One theory is propagated as a truth, vigorously propagated, taught in the educational system, and then some new finding comes up, some contrary evidence comes up, some alternative thread of reasoning is developed, and then that theory is rejected. So truth becomes almost like a disposable napkin that they use today and thrown away next day. So when we find that truths keep changing like this, and coming from such a culture of changing truths, we encounter the Bhagavad Gita, an ancient book. And naturally the question comes up, is this still true? Yes, the Bhagavad Gita is always true because its message is independent of history. Its message is independent. How is it independent of history? Because the Bhagavad Gita, even when it is spoken at a particular time in history, and so it has a contextual part. Yes, such a particular person is speaking to a particular person at a particular place, in a particular setting. That is the context. But the Bhagavad Gita's message doesn't focus primarily on the context. It goes far beyond it. The Bhagavad Gita's message goes beyond the outer world. In the world around us, there are constant changes. The world is in a state of constant flux. And because of these changes, the knowledge that we acquire about it keeps changing. It is by definition changeable. By its very nature, this knowledge is changeable because the world itself is changing and our understanding of the world is also changing. So in such a situation, naturally the knowledge of the outer world will change. But the Gita's central message is not about this outer world. It is about the inner world. What does the inner world mean? The inner world refers to the human search for meaning and the human longing for love. These are universal, history independent. They are truths which exist constantly. That whoever may be a person, whether in the past ages, whether in the ancient, medieval, modern, postmodern age, anytime. You know, there is a human search for meaning. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of the world around? What is the meaning of everything? And there is a longing for love. We all want to love and to be loved. Without love and without the reciprocation of love, life doesn't have meaning. So the search for meaning and the longing for love are connected because love is what brings meaning to life. So, the Bhagavad Gita addresses this universal question, the search for meaning and the longing for love. And it explains that actually the search for meaning and the longing for love can be fulfilled only when centered on the all-attractive Supreme Being, God. And God is revealed in the Gita in His highest manifestation as Krishna. And this is the central message of the Gita. The central message can be phrased in one of its last verses, one of the verses from its last chapter. So 18.58, the Bhagavad Gita declares, Machitta sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atha chetva mahankara nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. Krishna describes, Machitta sarva durgani. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles by my grace. Mat prasadat tarishyasi atha chetvam ahankaran. However, if you act out of ego, nashroshyasi, and do not hear me, vinangshyasi, you will be lost. So Krishna is giving two trajectories over here. One trajectory, the trajectory of godless materialism, neglecting Krishna, nashroshyasi, and ahankaran. The ego is the foundation of all materialism. The ego is based on identifying with matter. The soul is spiritual, but because of the soul, ego, the soul identifies with matter, and thus the ego is the foundation of materialism. So there is godless materialism, and there is devotional spirituality. There can be spirituality of various types, and there is impersonal spirituality, there is voidistic spirituality, but there is this devotional spirituality, essentially machittaha, if you become conscious of me. And the Bhagavad Gita describes these two trajectories. It says godless materialism will end in frustration. Vinangshasi. On the other hand, devotional spirituality will grant fulfillment, will grant success, will lead to the circumventing of all obstacles, navigating and going beyond all of them by God's grace. Now, this is the central message of the Gita. And this doesn't depend on history, because whatever be the era that a person is living in, materialism will always fail to satisfy the human need for meaning and love. Because if matter is all that exists, then matter is not conscious, matter doesn't experience emotion. So how can matter? How can matter have concept of meaning? How can our matter have feelings of love? So materialism will ultimately fail in fulfilling the human need for meaning and love. And devotional and spirituality, authentic spirituality, will always fulfill that need. And actually, if we study the history of humanity carefully, we will see that history demonstrates these twin truths. It's one truth, two parts. The futility of godless materialism and the glory of devotional spirituality. And through the rise and fall of civilizations, so the civilization, as long as they were centered on God, they are prosperous. And when they go away from God, gradually they become decadent, morally decadent. Then they become materially deficient, and eventually they are destroyed. So in this way, history demonstrates this truth. Of course, we need the educated eye to see how history is demonstrating this truth. When we look at the history of the world, at the rise and fall of various civilizations. But along with that, we can also look at our own life history. You know, our life history is in one sense a microcosm of world history, because we are microscopic units within the world. So we are like microcosms of the cosmos. So if we look at our own life, we will see that whenever we take shelter of Krishna, that shelter grants us illumination and empowerment. Illumination means things become clear. We become lit from within. We understand, okay, this is good, this is harmful. And then empowerment. We get strength to do right things. When we do the right things, we get fulfillment. On the other hand, when we neglect taking shelter of Krishna, then that leads to delusion and disempowerment. We become confused about what to do, and whatever we decide to do, we find that we don't have enough willpower to do it, and we end up ultimately frustrated. So, in this way, individually and collectively, history demonstrates this truth. And even if certain phases in history don't seem to be demonstrating that truth right now, but that's just because we are seeing only a tiny slice of history. All history will sooner or later demonstrate this truth, because the truth is perennial, that materialism can never satisfy the human heart's longing for love and meaning, whereas spirituality can and will. And now, how does all this apply to us? The Bhagavad Gita is not just teaching some abstract truths. It teaches this perennial truth, and along with that, it guides us practically how to make intelligent choices so that our life becomes a beneficial demonstration. Our life will also become a part of history. It may not be written in history books, but still it's a part of history. And if we want our life history to demonstrate not the futility of materialism, but the glory of spirituality, then the Bhagavad Gita wisdom stands ready to equip us, to guide us to make intelligent choices, and thereby become living demonstrations of the glory of spirituality. Thank you. Hare Krishna.